Eyes on Fishing with Mitch Peterson, Josh Sheldon, and Brad Qualley, leading you to the next level.
Welcome back to All Eyes on Fishing. Today we're going to talk about fishing things that are submerged, like brush or trees, timber, things like that are under the water, whether that's a couple feet underwater, 15, 20 feet under the water, but we know that there's timber there, there's brush there. How do we fish them? I know that it's very intimidating. When we first started doing this years ago, it was just like, you might as well just take your tackle box and throw it in the water.
Because you're not along with your wallet. Here you go.
Yeah, because it's going to just be a lot less frustrating. Let's just throw out $200 worth of stuff.
Yeah.
And we'll just go back to the hotel and have a beer.
Yeah.
Because it's going to end up being cheaper and less frustrating.
And we're going to catch as many fish, which was zero.
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
But the whole key is, that's where the fish are.
And we can see them in there. Arch after arch.
You're especially when there's a lake that's been flooded for a little bit of time. Like this one lake that we fish, it was down for years. It was at like 40% capacity.
Yep.
It was really, really shallow. And then we finally got the rain. They opened it up. And now it's at capacity. So there was a bunch of cottonwoods that grew up. Yep. And those cottonwoods now are 14 feet under the water.
Yeah.
And when you're driving over those cottonwoods, it's just ping, 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 mark, yeah, all in that top foot of those trees. And we're like, oh, we got to stop here because it's almost impossible not to. There's a billion fish sitting there. And when you get outside of the trees, there's none. So you're like, we're fishing that. First thing we did is, like most people, pull right up. Can't anchor because your rope is going to. It's going to be a shit show in there. Right. You're never getting your anchor out.
Right.
So you put your trolling motor down and just put it on anchor or just drive real slow. And we're trying to vertical jig them. Well, so you vertical jig for about 4 seconds. And then you're hung up. And you're like, break off, tie on.
Yep.
And while I'm tying on, he's breaking off.
Yeah, all of a sudden I feel a bite, set the hook on a nice 2-inch branch.
Yeah.
Or you come to realize right away, bam, that is a bite. You set the hook. You had the fish on for 2 seconds. Next thing you know, it's wrapped back up in the trees. And broke off. It's frustrating.
Yeah.
But there's a way to do it. And you're still going to lose some gear, especially when you're first starting to figure it out. But one thing that we've really done a lot with, and this seems crazy, and we brought it up to you, is, and I'm sure maybe it's just crazy to us, but is running bottom bouncers through trees.
I think it's perfect.
People are like, you're running bouncers? Yeah. 2-ounce bouncers
heavy
through the tops
bouncers
of the trees. Yeah. And I want something that's quick to react. Yeah. I don't want that half-ounce bouncer that's going to be at a 60-degree angle way behind your boat. We're gonna pull those bottom bouncers at like 0.7, just over a half a mile an hour, through the tops of those trees. And
so for those who don't know what bottom bouncers are, real quick, let's explain real quick what a bottom bouncer is. So they're listening to this and they want to know what to look for. They know exactly what to go look for if they want to order it off a website or out of some, they want to go pick it up at their nearest sporting goods store.
Well, Google bottom bouncer if you don't know what it is. But it's basically a weight system with its wire, a long piece of wire with a nice chunk of weight on it. It comes in all kinds of different size weights, you know, 1/2 ounce up to 3 ounce,
colors,
whatever. Yep, different colors. And it's basically a 90-degree bend in that wire. And you tie your main line on the front of it, the front of the bend. And off the back of it, it's got a swivel. And that's where you run your lead to whatever you want to run.
Crankbaits. There you go. You can run anything off it if you want. But but the idea is to run something that probably isn't going to sink.
That's not going to die.
Like if you don't want to do a jig
cranks,
or
maybe over timber wouldn't be the best thing.
Yeah.
But I guess you could run a stick bait that doesn't die.
Yeah, and essentially they're designed to let out line till you make contact with the bottom piece of the wire. And you'll feel bottom, and it keeps your bait maybe a foot off the bottom, keeps it raised off the bottom, and that's bottom bouncer.
Right.
Well, so it's not bottom dragger. You don't let it just drag.
You don't let it just drag, right.
You'll see your rod tip just gradually ticking.
Yep.
And then you know you're on the bottom. So it's usually enough. Once you find your stuff, look over at your sonar. I'm at 19 feet. I do a half a crank up, so I know that if it bops up to 18.6, I'm still going to tick. I'm still within that range, and you go. So the same thing we do with trees. So what we'll do with trees, this one place, we're marking there probably 13, 14 feet down, mm-hmm. something like that. Well, we're in 30 foot of water. we have 15-foot of tree, 15, 16-foot of tree. And so we'd take our bouncers, and this is where it can give you a little aggravating at the very beginning because you got to figure out your depth on how far. Now, line counter reels are key for this.
Yes.
Consistent speed is key for this. You can't pull 0.5 one time and 0.9 the next time because it changes the amount of friction on that bottom bouncer, and now you got a foot and a half variance. Yep. I mean, you want to try to – if you're pulling 0.7, which – a lot of times we end up right around there. 0.6 to 0.8 is okay. But when you start hitting 9 or 5 or 6, you're nah. You want to try to keep it as consistent as possible. High wind days, it makes it tough. But you want the consistency on your speed is critical. So we drop it down until we hit the trees, you know. And then you crank up. And if you're still just barely, if you're grabbing trees too much, crank up again. Sometimes you get snagged up. But that weight system, a lot of times, will pull through the tops of those trees. So you keep cranking up until you're just barely ticking.
Yep.
The trees every once in a while.
Every once in a while.
And then you look at your line count and you're like, okay, that's 20 and a half feet back on my bottom, on my line counter.
Right.
So now you put on your 3-4 foot snell with a spinner on it, slow death hook, whatever you're going to put on it. It's usually something like that.
Right.
And now you just drop it down nice and slow until you get to 20, 20 and a half feet. Close the bail, and now you're just cruising right across the top.
Right.
The key to it, though, is you got to be on it.
Yep.
Because those fish, like we talked about, as soon as they grab, that whole system wants to go down in the tops of those trees. So you got to run an X. I like the Berkley, the XT mono line, because it's tough. And if it gets nicked up, I think.
You mean as your main line?
As your main line.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, I use the 14-pound fire line.
Yeah, you like the fire line. And that works great too. We just for consistency, we've ran the XT, so we're all four of our rods are exactly the same. So it's 20 and a half feet on all of them.
I like the fire line because it is more sensitive, and so I think you can see. Well, two things: A, it doesn't drag in the water as much as XT, so you get that a little bit more of a vertical, not necessarily. You know what I mean? Instead of a 45, it's a 30 degree angle. From your rod tip in your line into the water. Mm-hmm. So I like that the fire line's a little less of an angle. I also like that it's a little more sensitive, so I can a lot of times. And I know we've all talked about this. A lot of guys stick things in rod holders and sit and watch. We like to hold them. I like to hold it. So I can do that immediate adjustment. Like you said, if all of a sudden the trees went from 15 feet up to 16 feet, I can do that quick adjustment without getting hung up.
Yeah.
And a lot of times that's where the fish will
hit. Well, and a lot of times what we're doing, we're running four rods, our dead sticks. We'll actually drop that down like 18. So it's 2.5 feet above.
Right.
So we accommodate for that. The other ones we're hand lining. Yep. But the thing that I love fire line. I use that all the time. But the reason I don't like using it in trees, and each to their own, right?
Right.
Is because you will still get hung up. It's not a fail safe.
Right.
But that shit is tough. I'm telling you, 14-pound
fire line
will cut your thumb off.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I know. I don't know where they come up with their test strings, because 14 pounds is like 20-pound mono, really. I mean, to get it to break off, there's a good chance you could snap your rod, or if it gets hung up, I mean, it can be challenging, but it is way more sensitive.
Well, then what do you use for your leader line going back to your crawler harness or your slow death hook? I mean, I think that's the key, right? Like I use either 10 or 12. I typically tie everything at 12 pound, but that's probably going to snap before my main line, which is fine because I want to keep that bouncer.
We use 8-pound.
And you use 8. So, and I keep it shorter. If I'm going to be fishing trees, I do 3 foot or less snell length.
That's what I said. Yeah. Around that 3 foot. Yeah, you don't want to use a 6-7 foot snell because it's just flopping around.
And you're just asking for it. And then I like to typically put some sort of float system. So if it's going to be slow death, of course, I don't, there's not much you can do. That's pretty much going to stay up on its own. But if I'm going to use a crawler harness, I typically like to use one that has a float in it. I mean, I rarely use one without a float just to keep it up out of those trees because, like you guys said, if you, let's say you hit a wind gust. And all of a sudden, your forward momentum, it gets stopped for just a half a second, or a big wave from a wakeboard boat goes by. And all of a sudden, your forward momentum drops from, you know, right around 1 mile an hour to 0.5. That's going to drop. It's going to drop fast. And so you'll buy a second or two with that floating system as to where you wouldn't if you had one that didn't have any floats.
No, you're right. We don't run as many floats as I know that you do. But we do run them. But I would say a lot of times we're just straight without the floats.
Yeah.
We do run them. There's nothing wrong with that. The reason that we'll run like the 8-pound on there with the shorter snell is is because they don't have as much time to dive, right, down into the weeds or into the tops of the trees. And with that 45-degree angle, you're already out. So it takes them longer to get more vertical, right, with that fire line. It's already vertical. So they're more on top of the trees, mm-hmm, to be able to get down into, mm-hmm, it. So I don't know. I know that I run my drag just a little bit tighter, not crazy tight, but just a little bit. So you can, when you set that hook, you're getting them up. It does it. You don't have that drag, right, start ripping out. So you, right, get them up.
I think that's the key. So that's how you present it and fish it. But what do you do when you do get a fish? It's that initial, as soon as you see the strike and you get them up. Yep. And even if it's only just a few feet, like that initial hook set, kind of almost horsing them.
Yep.
It's the whole key to not letting them get down in those branches.
But it's a great point. It's a great point that you brought up. You and I do this too. Especially like, you know, we were talking in the previous podcast about fishing spinners really shallow. You know, you get them up real quick, but then you loosen your drag a little, because we have learned this year. My new partner has learned this year that fish, as soon as that 24-inch fish or bigger sees the boat, it's going to turn and go
it's
straight.
It's going to turn. And bigger fish always make a run.
Right. And when you are using the snell hooks of a crawler harness or the single hook of a slow death, it's not like a crankbait. You don't have that treble bait, you know, where it's in two parts of his mouth and it's a nice big treble hook and off you go. You know, you have to be a little more careful. And so it's important to, like you said, have it crank down, get them up out of the weeds, and then loosen it. Loosen it when you get within a few feet of the boat, because that, mm-hmm, you're going to see that big flash of that white, you know, that white mark on the bottom of the tail, and that'll be the last thing you see of that fish.
Well, another thing you can do also too is you can run a little bit longer rod because that's tricky sometimes for guys that don't do it a whole lot,
right,
to get that drag set back, because it's like all of a sudden you did it too far much. And they're just like, it's almost free spooling. So another thing you can kind of cheat that a little bit is if you're using like a 7.5 to 9 foot rod,
right,
because now once you set that hook and you get them out, when you stand up, you can raise that rod tip up a little bit, and now just the whip of that rod gives you that 2-3-4 feet,
like a shock absorber.
It's a shock absorber, right, when that fish is, if it's a bigger fish, it will make a run. It'll make at least one, and sometimes up to three.
And that's one of the benefits of using the XT over the fire line, is you get a little more of that shock absorber stretch, mm-hmm, action. Yep. And so you know you're going to have a better chance. I mean, I notice when, you know, my big trolling rods, when I usually use to troll crankbaits or whatever, is with 10-pound XT, like we've talked about in the past. But I used those pulling spinners through the tops of weeds. And again, you know, on boards, but you get that initial strike, the board goes back, you know, the weeds are growing up almost to the surface. Mm-hmm. So they're in the weeds the second they hit it. But that longer rod of the trolling rod, the XT on the board, you know, that fish gets a lot of shock absorbing, no matter how big it is. But as soon as you take that board off, because we were only running the baits 7 feet behind the boards,
it's there,
as soon as you take the boards off, the fish is there.
And sometimes, if you've been, now I know you got a new partner this year, but if you've been fishing with someone a while, you might not even take that board off. You might walk that fish up to the
walk up to the front of the boat
and have them net at the
back. Yep.
Not even mess with the board, yep, on something short like that.
Yep.
Well, that kind of goes over, you know, like submerged trees is what we talked about there.
Right.
And these are, we're really, that whole application was trees that are still standing up, mm-hmm, underwater. What about, say, a shallow flat that has a bunch of, you know, timber laying down and branches down low? So we're talking, you know, shallower water,
sure,
6-8 feet maybe, but the bottom is just covered with
fallen
with
trees.
Stumps,
yep,
and fallen trees and branches and stuff that, yeah, it's almost impossible to work a bait across the bottom. You know, how do you guys go after that? What would
be your biggest thing?
Well, I go. Well, there's two ways, right? For me, I think I would set up, if let's say a 4-rod system. Let's say 2 guys in a boat, 4 rods. I would set up 2 things. I would put, just for example, we're fishing spinners, so we're fishing crawler harnesses, and I would put 2 boards out, one on each side, with an inline, probably a 1/2 ounce.
Oh, you're still trolling.
Yeah, I'm going to troll, right? So I'm going to put out a 1/2 ounce, and I'm going to drop it down. And like you said, you're going to look at the graph, right? And we're in 15 feet of water. I know it's probably going to take somewhere around 20 feet to 20 feet of line to keep it right close to the bottom. And I'm going to set it at 18 feet, right? I know it's not right on it, but it's close. But it's going to be close enough to catch those fish if they'll come up after out of the timber to chase, but it's not going to be so close I'm going to get snagged up. And those are going to be the 2 rods, set it and forget it, right?
See,
put it in the rod.
I have a different
feeling. Just hang on. And then my next, the other 2 are going to be the ones we hold with the bouncers. I'm going to drop that bouncer down, and I'm going to give it constant attention, and it's going to be...
I can see that in a little bit deeper water and maybe weeds, but fall timber that's laying down, like he mentioned, like in 7 feet of water.
No, yeah, just, yeah, shallower water.
Even better. But, yeah, I mean, so you use that half-ounce inline or even a quarter-ounce inline, you run that bad boy 10, 15 feet behind a board, and now you are, you know, if it's 7 feet, you're 4 feet, 5 feet. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're going to get a pretty consistent, and since it's inline, nothing hanging down. So if there is a branch up or something, it's probably going to go through that without getting hung up.
Yeah. No. Yep. That's definitely if you want to troll them, that's good. I know that when we fished down in Trinidad, we were fishing submerged, laying down trees. And one thing that we did is we anchored and then we threw out slip bobbers.
Which is always good.
Threw slip bobbers out to each side. And then we work shallow diving crankbaits
yep.
that were only diving 3-4 feet.
Sure.
So we're above them the whole time. And then we just work the hell out of
which
that area.
Which is awesome.
And then we'd move yep. up another 50 yep. yards, throw out the slip bobbers, one off the stern, one off the bow, one off the front, or the back, and just keep going. You know? Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, you, even instead of crankbaits, you could throw jigs, twister tail jigs.
Yep.
You know, Berkeley Gulp twister tails. Yep. You can throw those out and you can slow roll those through mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. keep them right above the wood. And those fish are going to come up out of the wood and they're going to crush
them. You had mentioned this a little bit ago, but I just want to make sure if you haven't tried this, fishing shallow. So you made the comment how you run your baits only 7 feet behind the board.
Sure.
Oh yeah, there's no rules. There's right. no rules. So sure, I'd love to troll, you know, open water trolling and have 100 feet out, 120 feet, right. whatever, mm-hmm. 60 feet, 80 feet. But oh yeah, when you get in a shallow application, you know, like kind of what I described, I'm picturing this flat with all yep. the timber. You bet, cover some water, and if the crankbait bite's gone, yeah, put those babies 10 feet behind the board, 20 feet.
We put them 5 feet behind the board yeah, before.
Yeah, right deal. Behind the board. So years ago, this idea didn't come to fruition, but we invented the trolling float for that purpose. Mm-hmm. Well, the planer boards do the same thing, essentially,
right.
Off to the side of the boat, but this was for directly behind the mm-hmm. boat. Yeah, I don't know if you knew about the trolling float.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it worked. It worked. Yep. But, you know, it's a great way to... take a, say, even deep diving crankbait.
Yes.
You know, sometimes, you know, like a,
husky jerk.
Yeah. It's a lot of the deep husky jerks, a lot of these deep divers, they do have a different action. Mm-hmm. But boy, it's going to dive a lot deeper than the depth I'm fishing in. Hey, just shorten up that lead behind the board.
Right.
You're rolling.
Right.
You're rolling.
Right. And I think that's the other thing to think about, too, is a lot of these, especially the Midwest lakes with the zebra mussels and stuff, you got that fallen timber. You're only in 7 feet. It's crystal clear. They can see everything. Mm-hmm. So you can put these presentations out on boards off to the sides of your boat and fire away, and you're going to catch fish. Brad, when you and I were in Escanaba, the very first fish we got, the biggest walleye we got the whole time we were there, was in 14 feet of water, crystal clear, and we had them out, you know, a big crankbait out on boards and only running them 12 feet behind the board or whatever it was.
This is kind of interesting. So not to turn this into a board podcast, because
right.
we all love our boards, everybody does, right? That if you haven't fished them, fish them, and you'll love them too,
right?
But
yeah, and go back and listen to some of our planer board stuff. We have a YouTube video
of
on
how
planer
to do planer
boards,
right?
So go find that on YouTube. You can find it from our website or go into YouTube All Eyes right. Fishing, look up planer boards.
Yeah, but here's the point, Brad, your biggest walleye, how'd you catch it?
I've caught so many big ones, I don't know.
Okay, never mind, we're not
yeah,
asking
yeah next
Josh your biggest walleye.
My biggest walleye is planer board.
Yep, mine too.
Crank, and more than likely crankbaits.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah, and it wasn't on Erie or any of the hot spots.
Right.
It was right here in old Colorado.
Right.
But yeah, they work great.
Yep.
Just for that, it's sneaky.
Exactly. It is. Yeah. It gets it out a little ways away, and it you know, and it's a great presentation for crankbaits. And so, I mean, and that's a great point. You can also use the you know, the dive curves out of the trolling guide. Use the dive curves, and you can go straight off the back of your boat. I mean, because mm-hmm. some of these, let's say like a size 5 flicker shad, you're going to get 65 or 70 feet of line out just to get it down around 5 or 6 feet.
Yeah.
So you can go straight off the back of the boat. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I like the planer boards just because it keeps you from getting tangled, especially if you're going to work at kind of a tight structure. You know, you don't want to get it crossing lines. But, you know, a lot of guys will put out those 10-foot rods off to the side and then your normal trolling rods off the back. And that gives you that space that you need. You can run them right off the back. I mean, you know, we have fished a tight shoreline where you are only 3 or 4 feet off the shore, but it's a steep drop. And you're fishing 6 feet of water, and we pulled crankbaits 3 feet off the shore, 6 feet of water, and we pulled crankbaits directly on the boat and just whacked walleyes, keeping them, you know, about 50 feet off the, you know, because 50 feet away from the boat.
Yeah, okay, I want to get into one other last little bit of timber before we wrap this up. It's not really timber, but it creates a lot of problems for guys. And when we were at a tournament, some guys were asking us up in the parking lot, how the hell do you even fish that? It's like the cattails. They're not true cattails. I don't know what they are, but they're almost like...
The viney weeds.
Yeah, but they're really... They're
it's
like
not milfoil for everybody in the Midwest, but it's similar to that.
It is similar.
It's more of a stalk.
They're like a quarter inch thick, they'll hang you up quite a bit.
Right.
So one way that we fish them, and we cast them a lot, because it's almost impossible to troll boards through there, because there's thousands of them out there, so you're always going to be getting hung up on them. So the only way you can really do it is to cast them. Casting cranks or swim baits in there. And we found this out several years ago, and it works so slick because you get hung up like 3-4 times a cast.
Right.
But if we're using, this year we're using 30-pound spider wire.
Mm-hmm.
And you're reeling in just normal retrieve, and it starts to get hung up. It's just a quick jink. There's no stretch in that, and it's got plenty of bite that spider wire does, that it just rips right through it.
Yep, and you're off and going.
And you're free again.
You're free again for the next 10, 15 cranks, and then you catch up again, rip it, and boy, we are catching some big fish in that. And it's funny to see a lot of people fishing the outsides of them. They're like, you can't fish that.
Right.
You can fish it, and it's not wood, but it's something I wanted to bring up in this because there's definitely a way to do that.
Yeah, well, kind of going with wood, weeds, whatever that cover is. The thing is, it's hard to fish, and that's why people don't fish it very much. But let me tell you, that's where a lot of fish are.
Walleyes located in those will be located two spots. Either they'll be cruising above it, just through the tops of whatever it is, or they'll be down in it.
Uh-huh.
And either way, they'll go after your bait. They'll either come up out of it, and you'll see them. Sometimes the water is so clear, you can see them come up out of the brush.
I know.
Or the weeds or whatever, and hammer your bait from underneath. Or they'll follow it because they're on top with your bait, and they'll hit it from behind. And so I think that's important for people to know, that they'll either come up or go through, but they're all over that.
Well, we can sit here and talk about fishing different types of crazy structure like weeds and timber and brush. But we're going to wrap it up. Hopefully that's helped you guys out a little bit on that. We can do more podcasts. If you have direct questions on that, make sure you're sending us an email at alleyesonfishing@gmail.com. And follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And don't forget to check out our webpage at alleyesonfishing.com. Got a lot of information on that. You can see a lot of our library, some of the articles we wrote, and some of the just other things that we do. So from everybody here at All Eyes on Fishing, thanks a lot.
Thanks.
This has been All Eyes on Fishing. Join us again next time as we discuss all of your favorite topics. Be sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And check out our webpage and YouTube channel at alleyesonfishing.com. All Eyes on Fishing, helping you to fish the next level.